Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. John in the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 34. We're just going to hear the last little bit of a long story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who has been ill, who has died, and sisters who have called upon Jesus to come heal their brother. And finally, Jesus has come. He's made it to the town where they are. And he has heard the news that Lazarus is no longer living. And we pick up with verse 38 where we hear, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with the strips of linen and the cloth around his face. Then Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are in our fifth week of Lent and our fifth sermon in our baggage sermon series. And before we go any further, I want to get what might be the elephant in the room handled. This is our bag for the week. Anybody know what it is? Go ahead, Kathy, what is it? It is. This is a body bag. All right, so how did we get to the point of having a body bag in the sanctuary as the bag for our gospel lesson today? Let's backtrack a little bit and figure out where we've been, and maybe that will help us figure out where we're going. So we have been throughout Lent connecting a bag and the story of Jesus each week. So the first week in Lent, we looked at what sort of a bag? A hiking backpack. That's right. Yeah, the sort of backpack you would take on a hiking trip, a camping trip, something where you're going to be gone for a while and need to stuff a lot of supplies. We looked at this bag in conjunction with the story of Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. The example of Jesus in his temptation taught us to be prepared as we face down temptations in our own lives. The second week of Lent, we brought along a gym bag. That's right. As we hit the gym with Nicodemus, in order to be transformed by Jesus. In the third week, we found Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman who had brought along her laundry bag full of dirty laundry, right? Yeah, she had a lot of dirty laundry with her. And it was at the well with Jesus and the Samaritan woman that we learned that we could be cleansed by living water and thirst no more. Now, last week, we had a different sort of bag. What bag did we have last week? A camera bag. That's right. A camera bag reminded us and helped us connect to the story of Jesus healing a man who had been blind from birth, exposing him and us to God's picture-perfect view of who God is, of who we are, and who we have in Jesus as a lens to view the world. This week, we're greeted by one of the worst kinds of bags imaginable, right? We have a body bag. And our story for the gospel this week is one of death and new life. Mary and Martha, two sisters, have frantically sent a message to Jesus, asking him to come quickly to their town of Bethany, where they live because their brother Lazarus has fallen ill. He's very ill, and they are deeply concerned. Somehow the urgency of their message gets a little bit lost in translation, or Jesus just doesn't pick up on it, and he decides to stay where he is for a few extra days before making the multi-day journey to Bethany. When he gets to Bethany, he realizes what has gone on, and he tells his disciples that Lazarus has passed away. But it's not just that Lazarus passed away like the day before. It's 4 days after the funeral by the time Jesus makes it to Bethany. So Jesus arrives 4 days after the tomb has been sealed with Lazarus inside. The zipper has been zipped on the body bag. The stone has been rolled in front of the tomb's entrance. And Jesus says, "Roll the stone back. Open the tomb up." Now, Martha says, Jesus, I'm not really sure you want to do that. You know, it's been 4 days since we closed it up. It's going to have a horrible stench. But Jesus says, go ahead, do it. And then he gives an unusual command. He tells Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out." And the amazing thing is, it happens. Lazarus comes out of the tomb, but he's having a hard time moving and getting there because, well, he's still all wrapped up in the grave clothes. So Jesus instructs the bystanders, probably his disciples who have come to see the spectacle, to unbind Lazarus, to unwrap him, to untie him, and to let him go free. Now that's quite a story, right? Maybe there are areas of your life where you can find a way to connect to the story of Lazarus. Maybe there are points in your life where something feels a little dead, a little smelly, a little rotten. Maybe there's something that seems to be buried deep down within you. Here's the good news today. Take heart, because Jesus can conquer death, and God invites us to rise up just like Lazarus. Now, it's a really good story, and I highly encourage you to read the whole thing at your convenience this week. You're going to want to turn to John 11 and read verses 1 through 45 to get the full story of the beginning of the message that Mary and Martha send to Jesus all the way to where we ended today. It's a full 45 verses, but it's well worth the read. For those of you who are wondering about this Mary and Martha duo, yes, this is the same Mary and Martha that we have oftentimes pitted against each other in the church. Martha, who's busy and loves to serve, but who gets distracted in the details. And Mary, who sometimes gets accused of being lazy, who sits and listens as Jesus teaches, just as his disciples gathered around his feet. It's this dynamic duo of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus who are at the focus of our story today. It's their brother Lazarus who has fallen ill and who gets instructed to come out of his tomb. So let's walk through this a little more carefully in just a bit of detail, looking at a couple of verses that will help us see this story. So in verse 14, we hear that Lazarus, who has been sick, is now dead. The words that announce someone's death to us are never words that we enjoy hearing. They're words that can be unfamiliar, words that hit us cold and harsh, words that no matter how many times we hear them, never feel good. Some of us struggle with the directness of the words that are in verse 14. Lazarus is dead. Some of us don't struggle with the directives, but we struggle with the truth that is behind them, what it means that someone we love has died. Oftentimes, these direct words and the truth behind them are meant to be caring. Lazarus is dead. Sometimes we hear it in the way that says someone we love has died, but sometimes we hear it and it echoes in other ways. Maybe it's that a job is over, or that we have an addiction. Maybe it's that something is out of our control in a situation. To hear the direct truth, even though painful and sometimes devastating in its truth, is often the first step in healing. Indeed, hearing the truth is the first step toward resurrection for Lazarus. In verse 25, we hear Jesus speak, saying, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." Now, how often have you heard that portion of that verse? "I am the resurrection and I am the life." And how often do you just hear the first four words of that? "I am the resurrection." We often fail to hear the second part, "and the life." We are like Martha. Our mind gets preoccupied as we hear the first part. We get preoccupied with the resurrection, hearing that there is a resurrection coming, but then getting stuck in a holding pattern, waiting for that future reality of resurrection that seems like a distant promise. Jesus tries to correct this misunderstanding. He says more than just, "I am the resurrection." He says, "and the life," that we are raised to life, not just as some future distant promise or reality, but right now, right here, in our present with Jesus, life is our reality. For Lazarus, the story isn't just about some distant future promise of resurrection. It's about Lazarus's right here, right now, as Jesus calls out, "Lazarus, come out." Lazarus knows life in the present. 10 verses later, in verse 35, we hear the shortest verse in Scripture. It's just two words: Jesus wept. In this short verse, a lot of power is packed. Jesus, the Son of God, knows sorrow, knows pain, knows what it is to cry those big, ugly teardrops. Jesus is found weeping. He's been moved and knows what it is to have great sorrow. But what that tells us is that Jesus is also capable of immense love. For it is only out of immense love that we have such great sorrow. Jesus is moved. He's weeping, for he has lost a dear friend, Lazarus. And he knows the pain that this has caused to his friends, Mary and Martha, and all who have loved Lazarus. Jesus is moved by the death of his friend and the pain and sorrow that greets him at the tomb. In verse 43, we hear that unusual command of Jesus, "Lazarus, come out." And these are great words of good news, not only for Lazarus, but for us too. They're words that could be on our very lips, though they might sound a little different. Jesus, before he calls out these words, assumes the traditional posture of prayer in his day, arms out, head and eyes raised to heaven, and he prays out loud to God the Father. And it's after this prayer that he prays that he loudly exclaims, "Lazarus, come out." Wherever in our lives we are looking for resurrection, we too need to be able to pray and to loudly and boldly proclaim those words that we need to say: rise up, live again. Our versions of "Lazarus, come out." The very next verse, in verse 44, Jesus gives another unusual command, but not to Lazarus this time, to those who are around him, the community that has gathered to see what Jesus will do. He tells them, unbind him and let him go. Take the grave clothes off of him and free him. Now, I like these words better even than the previous instruction, and here's why. The community gets called into action to assist with the resurrection that has taken place. We, too, get called to assist in the resurrections that take place around us. We know people who are yearning to live resurrected lives, people who have been born again, people who have been raised from the dead but are still tangled up in the grave clothes. People who are still tripping over the sheets and the linens. They're bound up in something. Maybe it's old perceptions or old arguments or old sins that are clinging on to them. You might know what that's like. I do. It feels like you're trying to live a new life, but somehow you're constrained in the trappings of the one you're trying to leave behind. This is where it's great to be surrounded by a community of believers. It's where we need each other. Oftentimes the task of the Christian community is to assist in completing the action of resurrection begun in Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us forth to new life, just as he called Lazarus forth, but that wasn't the end. Lazarus was still tied up. And he needed someone to help him be free. Jesus tells the community, unbind him and let him go. Sometimes we're guilty of not following through well with that instruction. Sometimes we're the ones who refuse to let someone go, who refuse to untie and unbind. Sometimes we're the ones who refuse to forgive, who refuse to see the new life taking shape, who choose to keep someone dead instead of alive. You see, that's also the power of community. But let's not be that sort of community. Let's be the community known to unbind and set free, to release and let go. In following Jesus, we can come out of our tombs. We can unbind others and let them go, and we can reveal Jesus to the world so that they believe he is the Savior. In our funeral service, in the service of death and resurrection, these words are found in the opening prayer. We oftentimes pray, give us now your grace, that as we shrink before the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days are accomplished, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying, our life may be in you, and nothing in life or in death will be able to separate us from you and your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. May it be so for us. Let us pray. God, sometimes we are the walking dead. We are dead to the needs of our brothers and sisters, dead in our spirits, dead in our passion for your Son, Jesus. We can become bombarded with news of disease, of fear, of violence, of oppression, and of death in our lives. God, bring us hope and new life through Jesus. Unbind us and set us free. Help us to rise up so that we may live fully as you intend, in love and in charity with all who are our neighbors. Help us to remember that whatever we do it for you. Raise us and restore us to new life so that we may be the disciples you would have us to be. Amen.